Now, just by way of introduction, on Daf Lamed Omid Aleph, we're talking about a new category of migu. It's not exactly we shouldn't identify necessarily with migu in general. So let's read the Braisa, and we're talking about the concept of hodas bal din. So the defendant admits that he owes money, but under certain circumstances the admission is binding, and under other circumstances, in most cases, the admission is not binding. And we're going to have an example of right here of an admission, a hodah that's not binding. Tana Rabbanan. How many lines down do we say it was? About 10?
10.
Okay, 10 lines down from the top on Lamed Omid Aleph. So it says the following. A man dies and he leaves his estate to his heirs, which are called Yesomim. V'omar lahem, and he told the Yesomim. Now who is this he? It's some sort of anonymous person. And he says the following. Anira isi avichem shehitmin maos b'shida, that he hid a bag of coins in a certain place. A shida is a kind of a closet, or a teva is a box, a migdal is a tower. So they have different kinds of closets. V'amar, and I heard from your father when he put this bag of coins into that particular closet, locked them up, let's say, he said to me, Mos, these monies shall plonihem, they belong to so-and-so. Oh, another possibility, shall maser shenihem, or they are mos of maser sheni, which means you have to take them up to Yerushalayim and eat it in Yerushalayim. So now the Braisa wants to know, do we believe this person or do we not? Now, keep in mind that with regard to a Yerusha, the heirs are considered muchzak. Muchzak means that they have possession over the properties of their father, late father, and anyone who wants to claim that he owns those properties, the burden of proof is on him, hamotzi mechavel of harayah. Now, although this person might be a trustworthy person, but he only has the status of Eid Echad. And we need, in monetary law, to take some object of value out of the possession of some, we need two witnesses. Less than two witnesses will not do. So the Braisa says it depends where this money is located. Because they're in a closet. There's some sort of closet, but let's say it's a movable closet. So if it's babayis, if you find the mos in the house of the yesomim, of these heirs, and that's where the closet is located, that means they have chazoka, is lo amar klum, we cannot force the heirs, the yorshim, the yesomim, to pay that money neither to so-and-so nor to consider it as mos maaser sheni, and that's because they have a chazaka on these mos. However, basada, if let's say that this closet is somewhere located outside of their house in the field, which means that you don't have, in order to get access to these mos, you would not have to break into the house, so to speak, of the somim, but rather just go to the sada, which is an open field, and open up the closet and take the mos, and you can abscond with the mos. Is in this case dvarav kayamin, that person who serves as a witness is trustworthy, and because of his credibility we will force the Yesomim to pay the mos to so-and-so or to use them as maaser sheni geld. And then the Braisa summarizes it in a klal. Klal shel davar kol davar she biyado litlom litlon is dvarv kayomin. Ain't the other litlom ain't dvarv kayomin. Lo amar klum. So what does this mean? Biyado litlom. Okay, so we're going to talk about Rashi. Just 1 second. Where is Rashi? Oh, bebayis lo omar klum. Rashi is about 10 lines down from the top. Eino neman. He's not believed if the shida teva migdal and the moles therein are in the house. Lefisha ein biyado litlon. He would have to break down the door and get access to this closet to take the moles. But besada dvarv kayomim. But we believe him if the moles are outside the house in the sada. And why? Because it's biyado litlon. In other words, if he wanted to take the money for himself, no one would stop him. He doesn't have to break into anyone's house. The closet where the money is located is accessible. And he's the only one apparently who knows about it right now. And that's called, Rashi says, Mali Lashakir, Malo Lashakir. So you want to underline, so to speak, those three words in Rashi, Malo Lashakir. Why would he lie about such a thing? Why would he fabricate this story? I mean, he's not pocketing the money for himself. If he wanted to, and he was a swindler, a no good bum, he could have pocketed the money for himself because he has easy access to the money. So why would he lie in such a case and say that this money belongs to someone else? Why would he lie and say the money is Meiser Sheni? Because in Rotsa Noklam, if he wants to, he could just take them. Vinosnam Lioso Shumeidalov. He could simply transport the money over to that person about whom he's testifying. And that's called a Malo Lashakar. Again, Malo Lashakar means he has nothing to gain by lying here. Normally, a person who lies, he's lying because he wants to gain something from it. He wants to benefit from it, reap in the benefits. But here in this case, he could have easily have taken the money himself, delivered it over to the hands of the of that plony, that person about whom he said the most belong. And why would he lie? He doesn't gain anything by lying. Now this concept of Mali Lashaker, those three words, that is a borrowed concept. If you would do a word search all over Shas, you would find that Mali Lashakar always appears in Shas as a Migu. Migu means that if a person was lying, he would have said X. And if he doesn't say X, it means he's not lying.
Could you explain that?
Yeah, okay. So we'll talk a little about Migu. I don't want to get too far afield, so I'll give one example of Migu, and hopefully that'll be sufficient. Hopefully. Let's say, for example, you claim I owe you money and here's the document. Well, there's a problem with the document. The document is not verified. That has to do with a concept called kiyum shtaros. But
there's
basically...
No probate on the shtar.
On the shtar. If there's no probate on the shtar, then it's worthless.
Okay.
And if you claim that I owe you money based on the shtar, all I have to say is one word. And that is mezuyaf. Mezuyaf means the whole shtar is just a counterfeit. Instead, I say... I paid you back. That's called a migu. Migu means, why would I lie and say I paid you back when anyone in the right, in their right mind would just blow them away and say, well, this document is worthless. It's not. It hasn't been notarized, so to speak, right?
On its face, it's already seen that way.
Correct. It's right. Such an obvious situation here that he doesn't have to pay.
For example, thank you.
So he just came up with an argument, a claim, which normally wouldn't be a reliable claim, but we should believe him because if he was lying, he's an honest guy. So he says, you know what, I did borrow the money from you, but I paid it back. So we should believe him that he paid it back. Because if he was a liar, he just would have said the whole thing never happened. This whole story is just fabricated. I never borrowed a dime from you.
Right.
Your shtar is worthless.
Mm-hmm.
And you have no leg to stand on. So if you take a look here on this page that I gave you, on the right column, you'll see, after he quotes the Gemara in bold print, he says, Pirish Rashi... Besade dvarv kayom demalo l'shakim erotzen notlam v'nostam liosu shumeidol v'chein kasav ha-ramah, the Yad Ramah. The Neman, he's believed demalo l'shakir Ibai Shakal, if he wanted to, he could have taken the money himself, Viyavlu, and delivered it to so and so, Laman Devoy, to whoever he wants to. So now we have Rashi and the Adramah, they're all on the same page. And Mivur B'divrayim, what we're going to derive from these two Rishonim is the Neman B'toras Migu. Again, the concept of Migu means if I was a liar, I could have gotten away with it. So if I'm being honest about it, you should trust me. I'm obviously not a liar. That's what Migu means. Okay, that's what we have in round number one. Now we're up to round number two, and we're going to look in Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Chaf Zayin Amid Beis, 127. Wow. If you were learning Baba Basra at a pace of one blot a day, it would take you 4 months to get to the end of Baba Basra. You're not even at the end of Baba Basra. There's another 50 pages of Baba Basra. So it says over there that Neman on the Lomar Zeh B'ni Bechor. In other words, he has a number of children and he identifies one as a Bechor. Now, how do we know that he, the father, has that credibility? And we rely on his testimony when he says that this son of mine is the Bechor, which means that he gets a double portion. Dechsiv, because the Torah says, Yakir. He will recognize his son, which means Yakirenu Lachirim. He will identify him for others. So the Gemara says, Lamai Hilchasa, what is the significance of this category of credibility that we, you know, this element of credibility that accrues to the father? Lemeis Velo Pishnayim, which means that now this son that was identified by his father as the firstborn will inherit a double portion. So the Gemara asks, Lo Yehe Ela Acher, why do we need the testimony of the father with a special pasuk, a special verse of Yakir? Let him be like someone else, a non-relative. Acher means a fremder, as we call it in Yiddish, right? Ilu boy lemesvele b'matono milo yoevle. If the father himself was not the father, would he be lying to say that this fellow is my bechor? Let's say he wasn't under the special category and credibility of a father. We should believe him without the pasuk of Yakir, which gives him elevates him to a special level of nemanus. He should be believed because the money is in his bank account. If he wants to, he could just write a check and give two portions, a double portion, to this particular son of his. He can give him a gift. Let's not call it a bechor that's inheriting pishnayim. Let's just call it a matana. If he's lying, then wouldn't he just give him he has an easier way of achieving his goal. You follow? So the concept of migu means if he could achieve his goal on the financial level in a very simple way, and instead he offers you what he believes to be the truth, you should believe him because he could have accomplished the same goal in a very simple way. He didn't have to go upside down with somersaults in the air. If the father wanted to guarantee that this particular son gets two portions, let him write a check. The money is in his possession. So why do we need Yakir? Now the super commentary on Baba Basra is not Rashi, at least after Daf Chav Tes, whatever it is, it's the Rashbam. We don't have Rashi past page 29. So the Rashbam says the following: Svarahi, we have a piece of logic. Neman al yidei migu, mali l'shaka. Why would he lie in such a case and identify one son as his bechor? B'may de amishu bechor. So we have here a migu. If the father wanted to get his ways, you know, he wanted to achieve his goal in some sort of roundabout way, all he had to do was to give him pishnayim, you know, make a bank transfer. Mm-hmm. So that's the Rashbam. Ulam, however, Harama, the Yad Rama, over there in Baba Basra writes that Migu di boy mesiv le hani pishnayim b'matona motzi yohiv, since he could have given the pishnayim, the double portion as matona, is kiyama b'char, who, when he says that he is my b'char, the mishkal pishnayim, mehemu, he's believed. And why is that? To kaimalon, the lo shav b'mamona, lo shav b'isura, kol hechad b'yod lasos oso davar shu meyed olav, neman lahoyed olav, vafilu yechidi, vafilu kar, vafilu isha, gabi isura, kidamina b'perko isha rabba, tevel v'hegdesh v'chayotz ben mishum d'biyot l'sakno, gami momeno nami, kidamina b'sanhejim b'perk dini momenos, Basra, Zeakal Kol Shviyad Litlam Dvarav Kayomin. So now we're going to take a look at the Yad Ramah. The Yad Ramah is not like the Rashbam, or at least not exactly like the Rashbam, although he seems to begin with the same logic, calling this a migu, that if he wanted a lie, he just could have given Pishnayim as a gift. So therefore we should believe him when he identifies his son as a Bechor who should get Pishnayim. But now the Yad Ramah adds a whole paragraph, and he says that there's a rule that applies both in Mammon and in Isurim of Biyada, that a person is believed when he could achieve the goal, it's in his hands, then he's believed to testify about that. And we don't even go through the normal restrictions and regulations of Eidus. We don't need two people to testify. Even one person is believed, even if he's a relative, and even a woman is believed. And this principle applies to Isurim, like for example, Tevel or Hegdesh. So it means he's believed to say that this is not Hegdesh, because if it was Hegdesh, he could easily just take off whatever he has to do. He should do a pigeon if it's Hegdesh. So too in Mamanos, we have the same principle of Kol Shabiyadov Dvarav Kayom.
So incredible how French, by the way, has adopted the Migu idea.
That's good. Maybe they got it from us.
They must, for sure, because Rashi, by the way, you know, took a few words from here and there, and they took words from us on a constant basis.
But again, just if I can get your attention, just to focus on what I'm trying to, you know, like in vision, you know, if you take an eye test, so they put on a lens to test, and they all of a sudden, like, things get sharp. You know what I mean? Right. What's that called? Is there a word for that? You know, if the lens is the right lens, you know, things that are fuzzy.
You're the expert. The process is refraction, but I don't know.
Oh, okay, but I wasn't looking for such a fancy word. But anyway, what I'm trying to focus your attention on, because it's a little bit fuzzy here, is the difference between the Rashbam and the Ramah. Mm-hmm. Because the opening line of the Ramah is pretty much identical with the opening line of the Rashbam. The Rashbam says, Neman al yidei migu. And if you look in the Ramah, he also says that is migu. And again, the migu is quite clear, that I understand, because if he was a liar, he would just simply write out a check. But now the Yad Ramah presents an entire complicated thesis here, and here I think he departs from the Rashbam. And what is his complicated thesis? He has something called Loshna b'mamona, Loshna b'isura. He has a principle that he claims will operate both in the area of Isurim and in the area of monetary law. And that's called Kol Hecha. We might want to underline this. Kol Hecha d'biyado lasos oso davar is neman l'hoyrov. And again, he says that this Kol Hecha, this principle, goes way beyond the laws of testimony of Eidus. So even where Eidus would be inapplicable, be disqualified, for example, if he is only one witness, or he's related, or a woman, nevertheless, if it's biyado lasos, he's neman. So let me give an example of what he has in mind here, in my humble opinion. A woman tells you that she went to mikveh. She's believed because she could go to mikveh. Or if she tells you, I took off trumas and maisers, and therefore it's no longer tevel, she's believed because she could do it. It's biyada. Whatever you have biyada is your belief. And now the Yad Ramah says that principle is not limited to Isurim, but applies even in Mamonos. And where does he see it in Mamonos? He says that in the Gemara Sanhedrin, it says, Zaklal, Kol Shabiyado Litlan, Tuvarav Kayomin. Which is very similar to what we have here. So what we're looking here in Sanhedrin Lamed is apparently a grafted Gemara from a Sugya in Perek Dine Mamonos Basra. So again, we can look that up by using the Mesoras HaShas, and we can find out where this Gemara appears. Kol Shabiyodo Lisakno. Or in the case of the Mamonos, Kol Shabiyodo Litlon. So again, it seems that the Yad Ramah is justifying this principle of Kol Shaviyado Litlon Neman based on a model in Isurim. The paradigmic model is in Isurim, that a person is believed to say, I can tell you what the status of this object is based on his ability to be metake. In other words, he could manually create that situation. So he's believed to say that that situation exists. And that's the model for Dine Mamonos. And that's called Biyado Litla. I mean, I would ask the following question. Why does the Yad Ramah need to present this very sophisticated thesis and rules and regulations that are derived from Isur to Heter? Forget about all that. Why not just say Migu? I mean, you started with Migu. Why do you veer off on a different road? In Dini Mamonos, we know about Migu. Migu is a classic in Dini Mamonos. In monetary law, there's always Migu. So why do you have to now introduce Isurim and set up this new principle of Kol Shabiyado Lasos, or in the case of Mammon, Kol Shabiyado Litlom, is Neman? Is there something that's bothering the mind of the Yad Ramah? He says the following, Hine zeh posho de migu mahani b'mamon, the lo tzorach haramah lo chiyach mi isur. He doesn't have to stretch his arm out to laws of isur v'heter. The migu mahani b'isur. You know, the Ramah's language, logic is that, well, migu works in isur, kol eish b'yod l'laso sosodom v'nem l'hobidom. So therefore, in a mirror image, it will work as migu in mama. Why does he need that? And he quotes the sugya in Isha Rabba, which is in Masechta Yevamos, with regard to Tevel and Hegdesh, that Eid Echad is believed, one person is believed in Tevel and Hegdesh, because of Biyado L'Sakno, right? In Tevel, he just has to be Mafrish, in Hegdesh, he could be Poded. The Hinei HaRosh B'Perek HaNizokim Pasav Dechol Dover Shu B'Yodo Shal Adam Afilu Ischazek Hetera Neman Eid Echad L'Tamei V'Lesa. Do you have a, let's say, food that has a chazoka that it's mutter, and the Eid Echad comes along and says, no, it became Asur, where it became Tomei. Kirisanya Hoya Osi Motaros Yomalo Taharosha Sisi Mcha Nitmu Neman Umefarish Hosam Taima Hol Ubershusohein Is Harehu Kishalo Veneman Olaf. Let's just think what this means here. Hayose imo bitaros. So I guess he's an employee and he's working in the kitchen. The Omer, and he says, Taro Shasisi Imach Nitmu. So he doesn't own these fruits or vegetables or whatever they are, and yet he's believed to say that they are Tmei. So the Gemara explains the reason why he's believed is Birshuso Hain. So now, once again, we should apply the principle of Ibai Metameluhu. It's biyado, it's in his hands to be Metame. So when he says that it became Tame, he should be believed. The Gemara says that the reason why he's believed is what? Hoil uber shusohen is therefore hu kishalo. Why do we need that? Why do we need harehu kishalo, that he's believed because it's as if he owns it? Which is just say simply, he's believed because he could have been metame biyadayim. He could have achieved the same goal on his own. The O, the Amri Yabisha Rabba, the Isovar Hatori Mishalol Shal Chavero, Ain't Sarach Das Bailim, Mishum de Biodo Lesakno. The Otu Bishuf today, Askinon, Shiyitro Mishalol Shal Chavero. El Kaven Shabiodo Lesakno, Havike Baalov, Vafilu Toram Mishal Chavero. That's a Gemara in Yevamos. Hari Kosav Arosh, Demai Dekomer Gemara Bereish Ha'isha Rabba Denema Mitam Biyado. Einze Mitam Migu Ela Nemanus Mechudash De Biyado De Hol Vehem Bershuso Biyado Choshukmo Bailim Shenemanol Umide Hevi Arama Lochiach Misham to call Hecha de Hu Biyado Neman, Val Kochach de Arama, Mefarish Asugi Babasu, de Neman Mitam, Nemanus Bifne Atzma, de Biyado, Velo Mitam Migu. Vehine Arama Kos Avsham, de Chayotzi Baze Omru, Besanhedrin, de Chol Shabiyado Litlon, Neman. Mevur Mized Lo Pirish Sugi Kamosh Pirish Arama, Hocha shenema mitam migu, give the neman mitam the monas bifne atzma shel biyado. But let's just see if we can summarize the highlights of this last presentation. It seems that there are different formula or different regulations or rules as to why a person could be believed if he's only an Eid Echad, if he's only one witness. One way is to say that in Dini Mominos you have something called Migu, that he's believed because he had a better claim. And then we have another principle which explains why a person is Neman, and that's called Biyado. Now, what does he mean here when he says that the lo pirish sugyan kamosha pirish arama? Just one second. What does he have over here? He has a rush. Demai dekomer gemar bereisha yisharav de nema mitam biyado einze mitam migu. So the Rosh is postulating a fundamental distinction between two categories. One is called Migu, and then the other is called Biyado. And according to the Rosh, Biyado is a new category, and it means that it's like it's his Rishos, meaning he has control over it. He's like the Bailam over it, and therefore he's believed. That's not the same as migu. Migu means that apparently he's not a liar. Now he says the Yad Ramah, in explaining that Biyoro Litlom is operating with migu. I'm not sure why he has to quote the Yad Ramah for that. He already quoted the Rashbam for that. But be that as it may, there's one school of thought that when it says Kol Shebiyado Litlom Neman, that operates midin migu. The Rosh would say that it operates midin biyado. It's a whole new category of credibility. He's Neman, and we believe him and we rely on him because it's biyado. The Hine Ashmaitita, the Shmaita Vav, this is the Tzos HaChoshen, Kosav Dihach Nemonis Mechudosh De Biyado Lo Mahaniki Im Bi Isurim Velo Bimomon. The Dover Sheba Erva, the Gabi Momon Vi Erva Lo Mahani Rak Biyado Bitoras Migu. Ulu Devrayim De Lo Mahani Bimomon Nemonis Mechudosh De Biyado. Al kochet the sugya the hachu b'bava basra. In the case of Yakir, having midin migu. So basically, what we're saying is the following: that this concept of biyado, which we found in cases of tumah v'tara, in the case of hegdesh. What was the other case that we had? We had a third case also, I don't remember now what it is. Anyway, in all these cases, biyado is a new category of nemanus, which applies only to Isur v'heter, and biyado doesn't apply in Dini Momonos. So when we find here in our sugya, Kol Shebiyado Litlon is neman, it cannot be based on the concept of biyado, that new category called biyado, because biyado doesn't operate in Dine Momonos. And therefore we're forced to interpret our sugya in Dine Momonos as a sugya of migu. And also Baba Basra, in the case of the father who's believed to testify about his son that he's a bechor, that's also midin migu. It's not midin biyado. And that's all true until we see the Yad Ramah. But the Yad Ramah in the Sefer Baba Basra says that the nemonis of biyado mahani gam bimomon kamo beisur. Because if you remember the Yad Ramah, he said kol hecha de biyado laso so sedava nemon lahoyrolov. And he says that that applies loshna beisura loshna bimomona. So we have an emunus of biyado, according to the Yad Ramah, even in the case of Dini Momonos. B'chein kosva nesivas muva b'Rav Kiva Eger shom de'ach ne'emunus b'chudish de'biyado mitam b'ilim mahani af b'momon ve'erva. Which sounds like the Yad Ramah. And this is against the Rishonim who say that Lo Mahani B'Momon Nemonis D'Biyodo. So we have a basic machlokas here in the Rishonim as to whether or not B'Yodo is meaningful in Dini Momonos. I mean, if you would ask me, I would have quoted the Gemara at the beginning of Mitzia, that if two people claim they bought something, we believe the Mocher to say, I sold it to him and not to him. Why? Because he can sell it to him. So it does seem to be a basis for biyado in Dini Momonos. Okay, so the Nesivos wrote a book called Klali Migu, and he writes the biyado mahani da'af b'dover sheba'erva. Now we always have an equation in terms of the strict, you know, the requirements of Avis between Momon and Erva, right? That's called Dover Dover Mi Momon. So if we assume as the Yad Ramah would have it, that the Nemanis of Biyado operates even in Malon, then it makes sense that we can extend it and apply it to Dine Erva as well, Dabash Be'erva. Umishim Hachi Pirish HaRamah HaSugya Shom VeHacha Dinema Mitam Nemanis Bechudish DeBiyado. So that both in Baba Basra, in the case of Yakir, where a father identifies his son as the Bechor for Pishnayim, and in our Sugya, where the person identifies the money as belonging to someone else, in both cases, the Yad Ramah will understand that we're dealing with Biyado. Kol Heched Biyado Laso, so Sedavri is believed. And that principle is rooted, is anchored in Iser Veheter. Like in the case of Tevel, Hegdesh, Nida, whatever the case is, it's always Biyada. Umishim Hachi Pirish HaRamah HaSugya Shom VeHacha DeNema Mitam Nemanis Mechudeshes Shel Biyada. Aval Tzorach Bir Ma Hechrech HaRamah Shom LeFarish HaSugya Shom VeHacha Mishum Nemanis Mechudeshes Shel Biyada VeLo Pirish Kipshuto SheNema Mitam Migu. So we still have this question to answer. Even if you'll convince me that according to this school of thought, this new category of biyado operates and is valid even in Dini Mominos, it's not just the Surim like Tevel and Kegdesh, but why do you need that? What compels the Yad Ramah to introduce this concept of biyado when there's a migu here? Now, one thing that comes to my mind is that migu applies when you are the baldin. In other words, if Reuven says to Shimon, you owe me 1,000, and Shimon has a migu, he could have said the shtar is meaningless or whatever it is, and instead he said, I paid you back. So we should believe Shimon with a migu because he's the baldover, he's the defendant. But in the case of the father vis-a-vis his Yerusha, he's not really the baldin, it's his son and the other sons that are fighting over the Yerusha. Also here, in the case of the Yisomim, it was somebody from the street who came forward, and he said, well, the money that's hidden over there was, I got instructions from your father that belongs to so-and-so. He's not the Baldov. So it could be that Migu only applies to a Baldov. But let's see what he says. And we'll finish up in about 5 minutes. Hine b'tshuvas harosh klal samaches kosav demayri shashida hayashayach lamatmin dumya debayis v'od ein derech b'nei odom lahatmin mamono b'rshuso shal acher chen kosav atumim v'yim ken haray yef shalomar demahani mitam migu tohavi migu lahotzi. Just 1 second. In Kenare I Efsha Lomar the Mahani Mitam Migu to Havi Migula Hotzi. Well, why is it a Migula Hotzi? On the contrary, if it's his Shida, then it's not a Migula Hotzi. Oh, I see.
The person making the claim.
Yeah, I missed that. Sorry. So the person who's making the claim, he wants to get the money
from one person to another.
Right, so he's taking the money out of the possession of the Yarshim because the Shida is in their possession. And it wouldn't make sense that the father, before he died, would hide this in someone else's Shida. Why would he do such a thing? So Mimela, this is going to be a Migula Hotzi. Which is exactly what I said when we started the Sugya. I don't know if you remember that. I was wondering why this person could be Neman. Unless Basada, maybe Basada, there's no din of Mukhsak. For Isi bin Esivos, Shekosim Divdover Shabiyodo, Nemon B'momon, Afti Mechayev Leachrini. Let's see if we can understand that. So if you have a Nemonis of Biyodo, then you're believed even for someone else. And he quotes our Gemara as a riot. Because this guy, whoever he is, he's trying to say that that the Yorshim have to pay off that so-and-so, or they have to bring this Moos to Yerushalayim as my Sushenit. The kavanasa de biyado avi demonis mechudeshes de mahani af b'mamon afil lahotzi. So this is very important. This nesivus. The nesivus is saying that if you accept the category called demonis biyado in the imamenus, it goes way, way beyond migu, because migu lahotzi lam, you know. But here we're going to say that through this new demonis chadasha in Dini Mominus, which is called Biyado, then he's believed even Lahotzi. That's pretty revolutionary. Okay, so I think we'll stop here. Let's just summarize what we have. We have two categories of Nemonus that allow one aid to be believed, when normally the Torah requires two aid. We have the Nemonus of Migu, and we have the Nemonis of Biyado. And the question is, where do we classify our sugya here in Sanhedrin when he says we should believe him because it's Biyado Litlam? Is that a Migu? That's what the Rashbam would seem to imply. And Rashi uses the term, if you remember, Mali Lashake, which is a classical Migu language. But the Yad Ramah here in Sanhedrin has a whole discussion here. And he says that just like in Isurim, called Heichad the Biyado Lasso, so Sedarah is believed. Like if he could be Metake in the Tevel, he's believed to say that Meisters were already taken out of the Tevel. And there's a new Nemonis of Biyado. So we had a sheet of the Rush. The Rush seems to assume that Biyado only works in Isurim. The Yad Ramah borrowed from Isurim this Nemonis, this new category of Nemonis of Biyado, and applied it to Dini Mominus. Hence, the Yad Ramah believes that this person is acceptable as a Nemonis of Biyado. And the Yad Ramah is equating Biyado of Isurim and extending it to Dini Mominus. But then we had a problem. Well, why not apply Migu? And the answer is that Migu is limited because we're trying to take Mammon out of the Muchsakus of the Yisomim, and Migu Lahotzi Lo Amrina. Masha Enkin, if he has this new, brand new Nemonis called Biyado, then we saw in the Nesivus that Afil Lahotzi. So we're dealing with a new Nemonis of Biyado. So if you ask me the question why the Yad Ramah was compelled to introduce Biyado, why didn't he fall back as the Rashbam did on Migu and Rashi in the Rashbam? The answer is because he felt, the Yad Ramah, that Migu would not be sufficient here, because we're talking about a Migu Lahotzi. I said that Migu might not be good because it's not the Baal Dover. He's saying that it's a Migu Lahotzi because the Shida is owned by the Yisomen, I mean, as part of their estate. So now if we're trying to get the money out of the Shida and give it to someone else, that's called Lahotzi, and Migu Lahotzi Lo Amrinon. But the answer is we have a new, brand new category of Nemonis of Biyado. The root and the source of this category is Isurim, and now we're applying it to Dini Mominus. That's the Yad Ramah. All right.
Rabbi, give you a tea there.
Right, thanks.